Grumble, grumble, grumble. How many of you, if you'd worked all day and received your pay, found out that someone had worked an hour or two and received the same pay? How many of you might grumble? That's pretty much 100%, close enough. And how many of you would have lodged a complaint with the management? Some of you, not everybody. Right. Some of us grumble to each other in the parking lot, and some of us take it to management, depending on our personality and our style. We hear a lot of grumbling this morning. Grumbling in the wilderness, the Israelites, grumbling in the gospel with the landowner. I mean, after all, it's not fair, is it? Or is it? Tell me who was cheated in this parable. The men came, or the landowner went and found people to work at first thing in the morning and said, I'll give you the usual daily wage, and they agreed. They agreed to work for what they would normally work, and they went and did so. A couple hours later, he found some more workers and said, I'll give you what I think is right. So they said, okay, we'll agree to that, and off they went. Noon, 5, doesn't matter what time of day. And their expectations were that they would be paid fairly. So he actually didn't cheat anyone, did he? Because they all agreed to the wage that they agreed to. There was only one hitch. For some of them, it wasn't what they expected at the end. And so when they came to receive their pay and heard someone else had worked for just a few pittance of an hour or two, and they got the same thing, they weren't very happy. Grumble, grumble, grumble. And the landowner points out, well, I want to be generous. So what's your problem? So what is our problem anyway? And it seems to me that our problem is often our expectations. We have certain expectations that don't get lived up to. It doesn't mean they're based in reality, because these guys were all totally committed for the day. They had their reality already decided, the ones who got the usual daily wage. But something changed, and their expectation changed. Not the landowner's, theirs. And so they grumbled because they didn't get what they thought they deserved, even though 8 hours earlier, that's what they thought they deserved. The expectations are a funny thing. They're great when we meet them, and they're not so great when others don't meet them, and they're really bad when people put them on to us and we don't meet them. When I was living in Kelowna and married in 2 stepdaughters around the dinner table, you know those conversations you have with teenage daughters, and if you don't, God bless you. We had a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old. And the conversation kind of went around about various things during the day, and my husband at the time started to grumble a little bit and complain about a colleague whom he was trying to work with. And this colleague was just never, ever living up to David's expectations. And so he was talking about this over the dinner hour. And finally he paused for a moment, and Vanessa, the 15-year-old, must have summoned all the courage from the depth of her soul, said, you know, Dad, I've learned that if people consistently don't meet your expectations, you should lower your expectations. Only Vanessa would have had the courage to say that to her father. And for once, he and I and Jessica were all speechless. From the mouths of babes, as they say, lower your expectations. Indeed, our expectations can get quite high sometimes, and we end up being disappointed. When I came to the parish, it was quite fun a year ago. It's a downtown church. I had no expectations that I would have a parking spot. Is this sounding familiar? And when I got here, consistently over the past year, I've heard the most grumbling about the fact that we have no parking. What's interesting, of course, is that for those of us who have experienced downtown churches in other parts of the world, you wouldn't expect to find a parking spot. I went to Toronto and visited a colleague and said, "So, what do you do about parking down here on Sundays or any other time?" And he looked at me and laughed out loud. He said, "It's a downtown church. What are you talking about? People park like they do every other day." And so it's always interesting to me that here we had a parking lot once, correct? A wonderful parking lot, which everyone parked in, and it was great. But then the parish decided to do something more productive than have an empty lot next door and built something that they thought would serve the community and help some people and provide some housing, and there'd be a bit of parking. Great decision. Has helped many people over the years. We provide accommodation. It's all worked out swimmingly well, except, grumble, grumble, we don't have any parking. Funny how that happened. We sold the parking lot. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm laughing at ourselves. I'm all the time saying to my colleagues, "Well, there's no parking. I'm really sorry." And so I'm in it too. But it's not the point. The point is that our expectation, which we had then, when the church and the city was a very different place, we haven't adjusted it. We haven't adjusted our expectation for now our new reality. And so the gospel today, what's it about? Is it about adjusting our expectations, or is it about learning to live out of generosity and the abundance that comes out of different expectations? Because really, that's what the landowner says. "I decided to be generous. And you have a problem with that? I have decided to give to some people who stood, yes, they may not have worked all day, they stood in the marketplace all day and waited to work, and there was nothing for them. They agreed to come at the last hour in the heat of the evening and work, and I decided to give them the daily wage. Is that not my right to be generous, to be adaptable to the situation, and to reward people, sometimes even when they least expect it?" That's the grace in which we are offered each and every moment of each and every day, for us to receive it and for us to give it. We know a lot about abundance and generosity, but we often don't think about it. We have this beautiful space. We have, many of us, jobs, families. We have clothes to wear to church on Sunday morning. We have food to eat. We have been given so much. And so we have a choice when we don't quite have what the neighbor has. When the church down the street has more people or more parking or whatever they might have, for us to compare ourselves. Isn't that where the rub hits? When we compare ourselves, we tend to fall short. And when we live out of where we are at and acceptance and total gratitude for what we are given, and then things look a little different. This morning at 8 o'clock, I used the example of our 8 o'clock service. When I came, no one could tell me anything about the 8 o'clock service because, from what I could tell, only the people who went to 8 o'clock went to 8 o'clock. Nobody else did. So I kind of arrived to a mystery. And we had a number of people, and everyone said, "Oh, it's old people, then it's quiet." Okay. They weren't all old, first of all. And it was relatively quiet. It's lovely. It's an 8 o'clock quiet service. And we all kind of took that for granted, and that was what everyone's expectation was. Lo and behold, in October, a young family started attending with a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. And Paigette, by coming to that service with her parents, sort of blew all the expectations of an 8 o'clock out of the church. At first, I didn't hear grumbling, but I could feel it. Just a little. Not a lot. Just a little. As all of us adjusted to having a 2-year-old in a quiet service. But it didn't take long, because guess what 2-year-olds do? They win your heart. And now, Paigette, as she wanders the church or plays or comes and gives you a high five at the peace, by her very being there has changed our expectations. Her generosity of spirit has changed the nature of that service. And as another young family who may be coming at 8 said, this is soon going to be where we're going to need Sunday school. And so it just reminds me to see her on Sunday morning, to think about what we expect, to think about what we compare ourselves to, and to think about what happens when we put something on a pedestal that might look good, but perhaps isn't what we need. Perhaps it isn't accepting the grace and the gift of God. Perhaps there's something generous in that that we haven't quite captured yet. So we can grumble. We're really good at it. I'm really good at it. If you'd heard me earlier this week, you would have heard lots of grumbling coming from my office. But when we stop for a moment and let Paigette or a 15-year-old's voice or perhaps the fact that something is just not the way we expected enter our lives, we have the opportunity to respond out of that gratitude, out of that generosity, and change our attitude. And as a church, that's the best way to share the good news of Christ. So this morning, when we leave and we can't get out the doors because there are people all over the streets today, and we all think, gee, I had to walk, the bus was late, I couldn't park, let's be gracious. Let's be full of gratitude for the energy, the vitality, the dedication of all those people who are witnessing to us today who are outside these walls. And let us be like the generous landlord and say, the first will be last, and the last will be first, and all of us are blessed. Let us rejoice in that together. Amen.